Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're studying the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the very first one, the commandment that says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And we're talking about some of the gods that men have for themselves. And sometimes people think that man is God. Well, but a miserable God he is. He is doomed to strut and to fret during this brief period here on this earth, only doomed to die as does the brute beast and then just rot in the grave. Oh, some God he is. Man is unable to sustain his life or even live in peace with himself or with others. What kind of mind would encourage us at all to adopt a faith that's so inadequate, hopeless, unpromising? What a wretched God is the God of man. Ezekiel 28 and verse 2 says, "Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am as God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God." Now these were words of condemnation of the evil and wicked ruler, but they are applicable to any and to all who would hold the view that each one is accountable only to himself and to nothing higher than mankind generally. Friend, we are not our own God. We're not our own lawgiver and judge. Is it possible to include a complete list of false gods that men have and that men worship? Well, probably not, because there's so many. Some worship the state. Some worship children, businesses, rivers, money, animals, statues, beetles, serpents, crocodiles, you name it. Men have made gods out of most anything. Some even carve from wood and stone their gods, and after carving them, bow down before them. But once a soul turns from the true and living God of heaven, friend, there's no limit to which he can go in his continual making of gods. Whatever civilizations have perished, they have preceded that fall and destruction by turning from the true God. This has been noted in ancient history, in the darkness of the Gentile world, even among the Jews, and is easily observed in the despair and the havoc and the ruin and the turmoil in the world of our own time. Yes, this first commandment is still the first and shall ever be. May we worship the Lord God of heaven. Nothing but sorrow can flow from any other course. Let us remove ourselves from all other gods and all idolatry, that we may not be produce the spiritual disaster that turning from the true God will certainly bring upon us. But now let us turn our attention to the second of the Ten Commandments. For many people, the second of the Ten Commandments may seem anticlimactic to the first, but it embraces thoughts more in detail regarding gods than did the first all-inclusive commandment. In Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." The unfortunate attitude taken by many regarding the teaching of this commandment has oft-times torn asunder the faith of Christ and created a never-ending number of so-called sacred images, as well as extreme positions that would even denounce all pictures of any kind. Now, just what does this negative commandment forbid? It obviously refers to worship that is related to images and religious images. The context of the passage, as we read in Exodus 20 and 23, "Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall we make unto you gods of gold." And that shows it forbids images that are to represent and to denote deity. It does not forbid the making of all images. It prohibits bowing oneself before images and worshiping them, or even using them to worship God. It forbids the making of them for such purposes. Now, men cannot know what the spiritual image of deity looks like anyway, for they are forbidden to create such things that represent deity. Who can picture his own spiritual image, let alone the spiritual image of God? Such is a futile attempt, and the attempt is forbidden by this second commandment. Now, some have taken this thought to the exclusion of all religious pictures and arts and statues. This does not forbid aesthetic arts, nor all religious pictures. It depends upon the art and the picture and how it's used. Art that intends to depict deity is forbidden. Nothing here outlaws pictures of mere human beings or representations of human beings. But some say, what about the pictures of what they call pictures of Jesus? Well, Jesus was deity, but he was also humanity. He was fleshly while here on earth. And only that which represents humanity would be in keeping with this commandment. To attempt to draw the deity of Jesus would be wrong. Christ plainly had a human and physical form. We know not what that was or his personal appearance. We are confident that what we usually see with Jesus with the long hair as if some kind of early day hippie is out of keeping with the teaching of the Apostle Paul regarding long hair on men, 1 Corinthians 11:14. Neither do we know the personal appearance of Mary and Paul and Peter or any other of the New Testament characters, even the animals upon which the Lord rode in Jerusalem. That which is forbidden, friend, is the making of images to try to depict deity that we simply cannot depict by physical art. We are forbidden to bow down before such things and to use such things to stand instead of the one before whom we are to bow. Is not this very fault Israel committed when Moses was on Mount Sinai and Aaron fashioned a golden calf? They knew that calf was not God, but they bowed themselves before that calf which represented God to them, and that was sinful. Now, the advocates of images claim that they don't worship the image, they only use the image to worship what the image represents. Friend, this is exactly what Israel was doing. And Paul called that thing idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. And not only is the worship forbidden, even bowing before the images, but presenting something as if it represented God for the purpose of worship, that is forbidden. John was even forbidden to bow before an angel in Revelation 22. Peter forbade Cornelius to bow before him and worship him in Acts chapter 10. And in spite of such teaching and examples, we find many still bowing before images that they make, worshiping men, kissing their rings and their statues, rather than realizing God made man in his image. Some have attempted to make an image of God in keeping with their own imaginations. Now, there were many great thinkers and writers and religious leaders who seriously protested during the first four centuries of Christianity against any kind of image-making. Imagery was one of the many ideas of paganism that gradually was adopted into what was falsely called Christianity. It was a part of the process of digression and apostasy from the truth. To avoid even the appearance or the confusion with idolatry, there were no statues placed in the buildings used by the early churches. The man that Catholic Encyclopedia calls the father of church history called the use of images a heathen custom. Imagery was not authorized in the New Testament, but is forbidden as idolatry. It is the result of apostate doctrines. It's a carryover from pagan superstition. Now, the extent to which some advocates of images have gone is seen in the difference between the Ten Commandments in the Catholic Catechism and the Ten Commandments in the Catholic Bible. Friend, in the Catechism, this commandment, number 2, is left out, and the 2 commandments are made out of the 10th in order to make it 10. But the Catholic Bible has the 2nd commandment still in it. There's a difference between the Catholic Bible and the Catholic Catechism. The Catechism leaves out making of images, or forbidden making images. That's because they use images so much. We must realize that advocates of images will cite what they call biblical examples of image making and their use. They would like to remind you that Moses was told to make an altar and place it above the cherubim. And these were winged creatures in likeness of man and bird and angel. And the high priest bowed before them as God directed. But friend, let's learn. God has directed that bowing, and God directed the design and the origin of those images, not man. God designed the cherubim. Only the priests bowed before them anyway. That's not a parallel to what some are advocating today. And some would remind you that Moses made a brazen serpent, but that was too, at God's command. And this was for the people to behold when bitten by fiery serpents to prevent death. It was not for worship. That's a tremendous difference. God commanded its construction as a means to show his power. The people did not worship it, and when they began to worship it, it was destroyed in 2 Kings 18 and 4. Hezekiah was producing a great religious revival, and he caused the people to return to God, and the image was broken into pieces because the people had begun to burn incense to it. We often hear that Christ never mentioned the Second Commandment, but he did not mention it in the words of Moses. But he taught his apostles by his authority when he thundered against images. In Acts 17 and verse 29 we read, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device." Who can doubt that the will of Christ in light of such teaching? In spite of this record, there are some who would perpetuate the religious lie that there's some kind of connection between the image and God that God would approve. Well, this form of idolatry is among the evils of the Gentiles and the pre-Christian age. Just why is this wrong? It's because God has forbidden it. That's reason enough. But even our own reasoning should show why. To have some kind of image for our spiritual nourishment shows a dullness of our spiritual concern. A truly spiritual worshiper doesn't need an image in order to worship the true and living God. To summarize the main points of the Second Commandment, remember, it forbids worshiping and bowing down before images that represent deity. It goes further to forbid the making of images that represent deity. While it doesn't forbid the making of all images for other purposes, they certainly are not to represent deity. They are not to be bowed down before in worship. When one is tempted to bow before some kind of religious image, we are tempted to cry out like Peter did, "Stand up." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.